And of course, our Campfire Hotline, 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Open lines, 2 more hours to go on Coast to Coast AM. I just can't believe how fast this year is rolling along. I mean, here we are in August. It's going to be the middle of August next week. It just keeps flying along. Schedule, by the way, end of August, August 26th. I will be broadcasting out of Detroit that Friday night, and then I'm going to flip over to St. Louis, and I'll be there for several weeks broadcasting out of the cave. Whether there's a cricket there or not, I do not know. And then I'll come right back to Los Angeles. So let's go to the phones, get things going. Campfire Hotline, you're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Missouri.
Oh, really? How close to St. Louis?
The other side of the state.
Okay, what's up?
Close to Kansas City.
Okay, sir.
Just give you a brief rundown real quick. I just clicked on your station tonight for some reason. Don't know why, but Last year, I took off, spent a year in the woods, just kind of trying to live off the land, fish, grow my own stuff. I was probably there probably 6 months, and I ran into something that was really strange. It was a lot larger than what a wolf or a coyote or something would be, and it was probably about the size of, never really seen like a grizzly or anything, but about that size.
On all fours?
Yeah, and it was on all fours, and but it had like a really long snout to it, kind of like an extended dog's head, sort of weird.
Yeah,
and I ended up just kind of waking up and seeing it because I heard something out rustling around. And then I ended up, you know, just kind of trying to hide from it and, you know, whatever. I was sort of freaked out by it. And it wasn't really paying any attention to me. It was sort of paying attention to like my garden and my little well that I dug. And
so you were basically living in that area. You weren't just bopping all over the place. You were staying there.
Yeah, I had dug out a little hole underneath a tree in the side of towards a creek.
Okay.
And I was living in there because it, you know, kept me cool in the summer and kept me warm during the winter time. I actually went out there about September when I started living there.
How big did you, I got to ask you this. I mean, how big did you dig this thing out?
I dug probably about 10 feet back up in underneath this thing. And then a little ways away from me, I dug a well. And during the winter time, I'd collect as much ice as I could. And
Didn't the hole fill up whenever it rained?
No. I dug it uphill. It was in the side of a dirt cliff sort of.
Okay, so you had like an overhang.
Yeah, kind of picture a cliff, but it's made out of dirt instead of rock. And I just kind of dug up underneath that and kind of lived there for a while. And then when it got warmer, I just kind of made me a little pop to with some branches and a tarp that I had and an old raincoat, and because it ended up getting kind of warm up in there during the summertime.
Oh, sure does, yeah.
But yeah, like I'd been there about 6 months and I'd seen this thing, and it was, I don't know, like first time I saw it, like I said, I kind of tried to stay away from it, and then probably about a couple weeks later it come back and it got into my well. Well, it's not like a water well, but I called it a well. I dug it down probably about 10 feet deep, and whatever ice I collect, I throw it down in there to keep my fish.
More like a cistern or something like that.
Yeah, huh? Kind of like an old-time refrigerator, yeah. You know, kind of try to keep my fish. And
boy,
my,
you really were roughing it, weren't you?
Yeah, I kind of got into a deal to where I just felt like that's something I needed to do, try to get away from some of the bad habits I had.
Yeah, I understand.
That, you know, if I stayed in the city, that hanging out with the same people I did, that I was going to go down the wrong path and probably end up in jail or dead or something.
Well, at least you're smart enough to do something different. It sounds like it worked for you.
Oh, it worked tremendously. But And then probably, and I'd end up running across this creature, probably, I don't know. There, after a while, it probably kind of got sort of regular where it just show up. Cause I guess it probably just figured that I wasn't, you know, any sort of harm to it.
I mean, would it ever glance at you or anything like that?
Oh yeah. It like, it stared me down and, you know, I just turned my head and look away, you know, kind of, you know, didn't really want to be, act like prey, you know, or didn't want to be,
so
you know.
So the more you looked at it, try to describe it a little more for us. I mean, did it have like a deer body or like you said, a bear body? Was it that bulky?
It was like, say if you took a bear and say a wolf and mixed them together, but it was larger. It was, I'm 6'5", 250 pounds.
You're a bear by yourself, for crying out loud.
And I'm not fat by any means.
Yeah.
They called me 7P when I was in the Navy because I was only 7% body fat and I was the same size.
I was in the Navy too. So I knew there was something about you I admired.
But, and this thing, I mean, it was probably double my size. And for the most part, the only thing I ever saw was silhouettes. And then if it was a full moon out, I might catch some glare off of his eyes.
Did it ever make any sounds or grunts or anything like that?
The very first time I saw it, it was kind of making like a, have you ever heard a hound dog clap its jaws together?
Yeah.
There was a smell up in its face. It was like that. And then it was also kind of a snort.
Okay, now his head, when you said it was like dog-like, unlike any combination of an animal you've ever seen?
Oh, anything. I mean, it had if you were to picture like a grizzly or a polar bear's body and maybe a tail that was it wasn't like a wolf's tail to where the wolf's tail, you know, it's long and shaggy. It was maybe, take a wolf's tail and cut it in half with the short hair on it. Because I could see, you know, you could kind of catch the glimpse of hair on it.
And you would definitely say this thing was more animal than, you know, some kind of Bigfoot-type creature, right?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely more, the only time I ever saw it on all fours, on two legs, is when it was up a tree after a turkey I was bleeding out.
What are those things, sloths or sloths, whatever those things are? They can stand up on their hind feet and they're huge. I guess see if we can get a picture of that and put it up on our website. I wonder if it was that. Have you ever heard of one of those creatures? S-L-O-T-H.
Yeah, I know what a sloth is. And there was actually a, because I'm big, you know, Discovery Channel.
Okay, so it wasn't that.
No, this was, I mean, it definitely had, because like in my garden and stuff, I try to grow like, well, to be honest with you, I sort of cheated. I went to a seed store and bought me seeds to take with me, you know, so I could try to start my own stuff. And I'd find like, you know, half-eaten melons and my tomatoes would be chewed up and stuff. And it was actually, you know, like, you could tell that it was fangs.
Have you ever heard of a chupacabra?
Yes, I have. I've seen pictures of what they think they look like.
Now, this might be too big, because I've never heard of a chupacabra being this size, but you know what? You never know.
But, I mean, it was really weird, because it got more comfortable and more comfortable with me, and it'd come up, and, like, if I'd be out somewhere, and I'd come back, I could tell that something had, you know, kind of gone through my stuff. And
what's the closest you ever got to it?
Probably about 5 feet. I come back one day and come like pretty much right up behind it. And it just kind of, it never even looked at me. It just sort of disappointed sort of, you know.
Are you convinced that this is some brand new species that science has never identified?
Well, see, this is my whole thing with Bigfoot and everything. I just, you know, I don't understand why, you know, I understand there's a lot of unpopulated area, but why we haven't found any bones or stuff, you know?
Well, let me ask you this. Even you were out in the wild for what, 6 months?
I was out in the wild for a year.
Okay, a year. Did you ever find the bones of a dead bear or dead at something. See, I think animals take these things.
Like, I find dead bones of deer and stuff quite a bit.
Oh, you do? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, and actually, if you find deer bone that's dry enough.
Yeah, but you got thousands of deer. I don't think there's that many Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You might have a handful of them in certain regions and things like that. I got it. So I tell you what, when you left then, I guess that was it.
That's the last time I'd ever seen it. And I was actually, and the thing is, I mean, the reason I wasn't trying to be too specific of where I saw that was because, like, your other guy was trying to catch, or he's a Bigfoot hunter trying to catch a Bigfoot.
Right.
I feel that if he does catch one, somebody with a lot more power than, that has a lot more power than should have, will probably end up some way of getting rid of him and his team and taking whatever he finds.
That's a real danger, indeed.
And that's why I don't want to, because, you know what, this planet's for everything.
So that's why you were a little elusive when you said Missouri. You didn't want to be too specific. All right, I understand
that. Yeah, because, I don't want somebody to go out and try to find this thing, and if they do find it and say, it's the last one left.
Well, now that you've
taken it away.
Now that you've stumbled across this radio show, you going to keep it on your dial?
Yeah, what time do you come on?
Well, in Missouri, we start at midnight.
Start at midnight, every night?
Yeah, Monday through Friday, and then we got weekend shows, too.
Okay, I could probably listen to you during the weekends, but
all right,
I found me a job so I can give me some more.
Okay,
stuff
back to the real life for you, huh? Okay, hey, thanks for calling. Appreciate you. That's kind of a strange story. A creature like that. Too bad he didn't have a camera. Let's pick it up by going to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Dan in Oregon.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good.
That's good. I just wanted to share a little ghost story with you.
A little ghost story?
Well, it's actually a big ghost story.
Yes, there are no little ghost stories, unless it's Casper or something.
No, this is a little bit bigger than that.
Okay.
I worked as a projectionist for quite a few years, and just a little side note, if you want to ever talk to a projectionist, I don't think I've ever met one who hasn't worked in a haunted booth. I don't know why, but they like to hang out in there. But the one theater that I worked at in particular, when I first started there, weird things started to happen, like ceiling vents would start banging, and when you tell them to stop, they'd stop, and things like that. And one night I was working, and I saw a black figure off the corner of my eye, and in my head I thought, okay, what's your name? And Frank, the name Frank came into my head. So I thought, okay, so I just resigned myself that there was this man named Frank.
Frank the ghost.
Frank the ghost. Well, Frank the ghost started to be mean as far as throw things around the booth, growl out of the theater speakers when you had everything turned off in the middle of the night, and look down at you from the theater windows.
What do you mean he'd look down? How do you know he was looking down at you?
Well, when you would look up, you would see a man with a black hat on.
Oh, really?
Looking down, and there was no one in the booth.
Are you sure it wasn't the guy who owned that theater or anything like that?
Positive. I was the only one who had keys to the booth, and there was no one else up there.
And what kind of eyes did Frank have?
You couldn't see his eyes. All you could see was basically the hat.
They weren't red and beady then.
No. So after about a year and a half working there, I found out I was going to be transferred to a different theater. And so my friends and I decided it would be fun to use a Ouija board two nights before.
Oh, that was smart.
Yeah, we weren't really thinking. So I had never used one before, and one of the kids I worked with, tell you kind of kids I worked with, got a Ouija board for Christmas. So he brought it in, and it still had the packaging on it, and he handed it to me. So I took it up to the booth, I unwrapped it, I set it on the table, and left the booth, locked the door behind me, and there was only the assistant manager and I that had keys.
And while you're doing this, I mean, you knew that Ouija boards weren't to play with, didn't
you?
Yeah,
I did, but at the same time, my curiosity got better.
Uh-huh. Does it? Gets them all.
I know. I was in my 20s and not thinking.
Foolish.
Yes. So about half an hour went by, and we heard something running in the booth, and it ran so hard, it ran from one end to the other, and it made the whole ceiling shake. So I looked at my friend, the assistant manager, and he and I both knew there was no way anyone could be up there. So I ran upstairs and opened the door, ran to the top, and the Ouija board box was completely open. The pointer was about 5 feet away from the box, and the plastic center of the pointer was about 3 feet away from the pointer itself.
So something obviously ripped that thing apart and took it out and everything else.
Exactly. It ripped all the felt off the bottom of the pointer itself, but we still used it. And the first night, nothing really bad happened. It was actually kind of fun. You know, that's
how they kind of pull you in.
Yes.
They make it like it's a game.
Exactly. And there was five different spirits that were identified. And the first little girl we talked to, she kept saying something about a baby, that we needed to take care of this baby that was there. And then it spelled perfectly, which from what I've heard from Ouija boards doesn't usually happen that well. But the only word that it spelled wrong was dog. Because I asked what ran, and it said dog, and it spelled it D-A-W-G. So then Frank came on that first night, and he was not the nicest person in the world, and he used very derogatory terms.
You're starting to get a little angry, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it was. Well, he was very attached to me, which didn't really make me very happy.
Thought old Frank was a nice ghost.
No. So I had asked him if we could come back the next night. He said yes, and I asked him if my friend, the assistant manager, could come too. And he said, no, he made you cry. And he and I, in fact, 2 weeks before that had gotten into an argument, but I was the only one in the booth when I was crying.
Interesting.
So I thought, okay.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yes, it is. So we came back the next night, and things got very, very angry. He was very angry that Mike was there, my friend was there.
Okay, so he wasn't that angry with you. He was angry with all these other people.
Exactly, another employee.
A jealous ghost.
Yes, and he made references that if he pushed my boss down the stairs, I wouldn't leave.
What?
Yes, things like that. And I kept saying, no, I'm leaving. I have, don't do that. And as it accelerated, I got scared once, pulled my hands off, and then put my hands back on, and it said, sorry, sweetie, didn't mean to scare you, don't leave. So I thought, okay, well, all right. And what ended the conversation was my friend asked why he was still there, and he said, God doesn't like me. And I said, well, why doesn't God like you? And it spelled, because I slither.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You were dealing with the devil.
Yeah, and I pulled my hands off, and I went, that's it. And I had to work one more night, and they wouldn't leave me alone in the booth. And we kept hearing screams out of the corner of the booth. There were three or four of us.
Now, once you finally left that area, that theater, did it stop?
No. The theater was closed down, and it is now turned into, believe it or not, a haunted house.
And Frank's still there?
Frank is still there. There's pictures of him on the web that they've caught, and they caught an EVP of him saying, get out.
Well, I tell you what, email that to me again, would you?
Okay, I sure will.
I want to get that sound to Frank, who may very well be Satan. Do you think that's who he is?
I don't. The weird thing is the names that were brought out, we had movie posters all around in the booth. And as the next day we looked around, and every single name that was brought out was on a movie poster in the booth.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. But, and unusual names like Elsbeth was one.
Oh, man, you're dealing with something. Don't do it anymore.
No. I've never, in fact, it's just, that's been almost 10 years ago that happened. And
okay.
I can just now talk about it and not be frightened.
Anything that comes through a Ouija board and tells you it slithers, you don't want to deal with that. I'll be back in a moment. More of our stories continue. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Indeed, indeed. And don't forget our campfire hotline. That's 818-817-0021. Well, it's that time of night to say hello to all of you, those of you listening on our 500 station affiliates around the country and in North America and Canada and Puerto Rico. Hello to all of you. Glad to have you with us, making us the number one rated overnight talk show in the country, in the world probably by now. Those of you listening on Streamlink, thank you for your continual support. I'm glad we were able to bring you podcasting and downloading. They're working on some more little surprises for you, by the way. I don't know when they'll be done. Also, the webcam, we've got a meeting on that next week. Yeah, we did have one in here. It was not what I wanted. Those of you who are sending me some messages saying, okay, George, where is it? I did not like it. I want some other capabilities, so we're going to be putting that back in. So that is on the drawing board, and it's a high priority. And also hi to those of you in the various chat rooms. By the way, Streamlink also has a chat room now, too. The NighthawkZone.com, folks, hello to all of you. Fantastic Forum Pirates, hello to you with that ship that continues to stay afloat. The Imaginative Worlds folks, hello to you. The National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, Yahoo Chat, and all of you in your various chat rooms, and they are expanding rapidly right now. Just why don't you send Lex a little note that you're the moderator of your specific chat room so we can catalog it. He's already gotten a few from my announcement earlier this week. I want to be able to have a pretty cohesive list that we can talk about, all the way from the Streamlink forum chats to the NighthawkZone.com folks, Fantastic Forum, Imaginative, all of them. Just do that. And then periodically I'll mention that and give all of you an opportunity to go to those sites and chat, because these are people who are listening to the program and interacting at the same time. That's what's so wonderful about Coast to Coast. It's an interactive talk show, you know, with fast blasts in these chat rooms. It's really alive. So take advantage of it. Have fun. Join these rooms and just enjoy yourself while you listen to Coast AM. Without further ado, let's go back to the coast. Why do they say that, by the way? Without further ado. People don't talk that way. To the phones we go, east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, George. My name is Angela, and I am calling from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Hello, Angela.
I'm very nervous about talking to you, and as a mom, I feel really conflicted about talking to you about this because it's about a small child that I saw at our local library.
All right. Tell me more.
Okay, 3 days ago, I was at the local library with my children, and I had my little son sitting on my lap, and he was reading a book. And I noticed this little girl walking into the library, and just from the corner of my eye, because I have three other children I have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's a full-time job.
It is. And this little girl sat on the other side of this little table from us, not 3 feet away, and she started flipping her book. And George, when I looked up at her, I almost peed my pants. This little girl...
Mom, you can't do that.
She had the biggest eyes I have ever seen. They were almond shape, and they were tilted at about a 60-degree angle, and they were staring right at me.
Okay, so, and she didn't look like it was some kind of
a deformity?
Deformity or
no, like
disease.
They weren't bulging. They just were huge.
Like alien eyes?
Totally, except that she had the whites of the eyes, but they were very, like a piercing bluish green.
Her pupils.
Yeah, the iris was, George, it was horrible. And she sat there for about 5 or 7 minutes, flipping the pages of this book, all the while staring straight at me.
Was she smiling? Was she nice?
No, she wasn't smiling at all. Mm. She had the saddest face I had ever seen. And what? I felt like she was trying to tell me something. Like, I didn't know what she was trying to say.
Did she have a normal head?
Everything was normal. Everything else was completely normal. So finally, to break the tension, I just said, hi. And she kind of, you know, looked down and looked back up at me, and she said, hello. And that, you know, basically that was it. But George, not once did this little girl in the about 5 to 7 minutes, did she blink.
That's strange, too.
And then this lady, the older lady, about 55, 60, walked in, And she grabbed this book, and she said, "What are you doing reading French? You don't even read French." She threw it down. This little girl, without even looking anywhere else, walked out of the library without looking anywhere else but at me.
Just turned around and stared at you.
And just continued to stare at me. And George, like, this is something I will absolutely never forget. It was quite an experience, and I felt really conflicted, like I say, about calling you. But
she didn't have a tail or anything, did she? You never know.
I was too busy gathering my kids because I just wanted to get the heck out of there.
Normal size body, not lanky, nothing like that, right?
Everything else was normal, but these eyes were not, like, they were not normal. Like,
let me ask you this. If Angela, if a normal eye, let's say, and I'm just saying this, but if a normal eye is maybe an inch long, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What do you think hers would be?
Okay, well, what I was looking at my kids' eyes, and I would say they'd have to be at least 3 or 4 times larger than their eyes, but they were tilted. You know when you see alien eyes? They were tilted exactly like that.
Yeah.
Except they weren't black. And the thing that I found the strangest, George, was that in my past, if I had ever seen eyes like that before, I would have remembered. But the moment she sat down, I knew I had seen those eyes before. I just instantly...
She's like a hybrid.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But instantly I knew I had seen those eyes before. It was like almost like when I saw those eyes, something switched on, and I was like, I know those eyes. And that's what really scared me the most.
Tell me about the woman who marched her in and marched her out.
Well, at first I started telling my husband, I think this was her mother. But then I thought, she seems too old to be her mom. But this lady didn't look at me. She just marched right through, almost robotic-like, but not jerky. And same with this little girl. Like, we were very robotic.
And the child only had the one book, the French book?
The French book, but she was flipping the pages but not reading it.
Flipping them, like, real fast?
No, very slowly.
Okay.
Very, very slowly.
Was maybe recording them in her mind, just...
No idea. Like the lady said, she didn't even speak French.
That's a strange story.
It is very strange.
And she walks out, turning around, staring at you. No smile, no waving, no bye-bye, nothing.
No. And in fact, like, I felt, when she was sitting there, I felt such sadness because I thought, I have never seen a sadder little girl. But I felt like she was trying to connect to me. Like, I would have assumed that she was maybe abducted because it was like she was trying to tell me something with her eyes.
Or maybe they found her. You know, maybe, who knows? What if she was from, like, a crashed saucer and some family got her or something?
I don't know, but who I was just knows? Hoping she wasn't reading my mind because it wouldn't be a very good mind to read.
No. Would you think, if you think about this, would mm-hmm. you call her human, hybrid, or extraterrestrial?
I would have to say she was a hybrid.
Yeah.
But she was more human than, say, an alien with human features. She was a human with alien eyes.
Which tells me that she could very well have been from a human egg, and then they did their own genetic mix.
Wow.
Very possible. That's a great story.
Have you ever heard of this before?
Never. This is for the archives.
Well, if you ever do, please
we'll talk about it. You keep listening. All right.
Oh, you
thank
bet.
You.
We have been for 10 years. You have great fans up here in Canada.
All right. Thank
we
you.
We love you. Bye.
Bye. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
It's me?
Hi, me.
Hi, love. I have a combo campfire Bigfoot story.
Okay.
Do you recall what year approximately the harmonic convergence was?
The harmonic convergence, which came before the concordance?
Yes.
Was back around 2000, 2001? I think.
I believe it was earlier.
Really? I can get that real fast, but go ahead.
Anyhow, at any rate, I'd say between 20 and 30 of us, parents, kids, elders, decided to camp out up at Mount Lassen Park.
Okay.
I'm calling from Shasta County. And for that event. And in the evening, as the sun was setting, we gathered... what we felt were the most precious or special stones.
1996.
Okay, that That rings true.
Okay.
This was up around Medicine Lake. There was a large meadow bordered by woods and the mountain rising. As the sun was setting, we had set up a huge medicine circle, and all sitting around that with a bonfire in the center. I can't remember what we did. Chanted, talked, laughed, what have you. My two little boys, one on each side of us, were sitting. And my elder son and myself happened to glance off to the right of us towards where the water from the lake seemed to form a swampy inlet through the woods, woods on one side, woods on the other. And all of a sudden, we each saw a huge being come out of the woods. That was, I would say, about 10 feet tall.
10 feet?
Yes.
This is not an imagination here?
Well, I would have thought so, except that my my boy nudged me and said, "Mom, did you see that?" And what it was, this links together several bits of information. It's always been a mystery to
me.
The thing is, it looked like the form of a Bigfoot. You could see the whole outline. Like,
right. Standing up pretty straight, not like a bear would.
Oh, totally erect, large head, huge. But the thing is, George, it was brilliant peacock blue light.
Now, that is pretty unusual.
And it floated out of the woods, walked across the swampy area, back into the trees, and kind of went poof.
Now, when you say walked across the swampy area, like it glided on the top, or was it just splashing along?
No, it was as if you saw the total form without detail, but it was a whole light form.
Must have scared the heck out of you.
No, I had a wonderful feeling from it.
You did?
Yes, except that it was so mysterious, it startled me. And Peter, sitting to the left of me, he was about maybe middle school age. If no one else in the circle saw it, and we told everyone about it later, if he hadn't have turned to me and said, "Mom, did you see that too?" And we compared notes, I knew I wasn't losing it.
What do you think it was now?
Well, since then, every once in a while, it will come back to mind, and I'll ask someone. And I caught the drift that amongst Native Americans around here, there's a legend about it. And then hearing that man say that Bigfoot could be a transitional creature, I'm wondering if what we didn't see was a Bigfoot transitioning.
That's very, very possible. Because I'm beginning to think that we might be dealing with several different things here. An earthbound creature that's been around a long time, and some kind of dimensional creature that some people, including you, might have seen. Wildcard Line, your turn. Thank you for that call. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Ty from San Antonio.
Hi, Ty. What's up?
Well, I have a little bit of a ghost story for you, and it happened yesterday.
Oh, that's pretty common. Okay. Current, not common.
Now, let me give you a little bit of background. When I was a young boy, I had a favorite uncle of mine. He was like a father to me. His name was Uncle Charles. About 10 years ago, he passed away from cancer. And, you know, life goes on and we all grow up. Yesterday, as I'm getting ready for work, and I'm getting my my uniform on, I hear my four-year-old daughter playing in her room. You know, playing just like any regular four-year-old.
Just having a great old time.
Just having a high old time. And I hear her talking, and I'm thinking to myself, wonder who she's talking to. So I go in there, and I figure I'd just play with her for a little bit, and I say, "Hi, you know, hi, baby, who are you talking to?" And she looks at me kind of funny, like, "Don't you know?"
Oh.
And then I ask again, "Who are you talking to?" And she goes, "To Uncle Charles."
How would she know who Uncle Charles was?
Exactly. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's
Yeah, it's a little
weird.
Yeah, you gotta say, well, maybe she heard us talking about him. Who knows? But
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. So I figured, okay, I'll play along. And I was like, she has one of those like little toy cell phones.
Oh, I love this story.
And she puts it back up to her ear and she says hello, like she's talking to somebody, like I used to do with her when we first got
into
it.
Yeah.
And she says, uh-huh, yes, sir. Okay, love you, bye-bye.
Like he's instructing her to do something.
Exactly. And I asked her, I said, what did he say? And she says, oh, yeah, I almost forgot the clincher, what really got to me. When Uncle Charles was alive, a nickname he had for me was his Indian.
His Indian, okay.
And she said, she said that he said.
Now, this is a four-year-old little girl you're talking about, right?
Yes, yeah, a four-year-old little girl. And she says, tell my Indian he better get his act straight. I'm like, what?
You don't think the wife was setting you up, do you?
I want to say that she wasn't because there's not too many people around anymore that know about that nickname.
Yeah.
I mean, other than my parents and his wife and my cousins.
And I don't know how, if she was playing a game with you, how she could get the little four-year-old to do it so well.
Exactly. I mean, it caught me completely off guard. And I'm thinking to myself, get my accent, what do you mean? And we had told four-year-old a little while back that we're going to be getting a new house and we had to put that on hold.
Ah.
And
maybe old said, Uncle Charles wants you to get that house and get rolling here.
Exactly. That's not exactly what you said, but that's kind of what she alluded to.
Are you convinced that she talked to him and does she do it anymore?
You know what? Not too long before my uncle died, my grandmother died from the same type of cancer.
Yeah.
I know that there are, I have a 2-year-old daughter as well. And there are times I've seen her walking through my house with her arm up like somebody's holding her hand.
Oh, this is a gifted group you have here.
And I asked her, I said, I asked her, what are you doing? She says, you know, she doesn't speak very well. She says, I'm with Mama. Now, Mama was my, what we called my grandmother when we were all real little, too.
That's great. Now, does the little one still have the toy cell phone, just in case Charles wants to call her up?
Yeah.
Next time that happens, you got to ask her a question for me and call me back. Tell her to ask Charles, what's it like over there? I just want to see how she describes it.
Yeah, hopefully he'll call back sometime soon.
All right, and I hope it's not a collect call. We'll be back in a moment.